Yeah.
I thought you mean the sausage or enemy now. Or
come in.
Somebody points out an error, then you must not regard that person to be now your enemy. And that is what is happening today. Someone does something which is wrong, which is harmful for him in relation to the akhirat, then he becomes angry. But if you point out something which is detrimental or harmful for him with regard to the dunya, then he's your friend now. You save him some money. That look, if you do this, this is going to happen. All of a sudden, there's a danger for your life, your property. There's danger. And then, if he sees, he understands, he's right, yeah, you have saved him so little money now. Now he's thankful to you. That person is thankful. But if you point out to him something which is now harmful with regard to his akhirat, right, he doesn't perform salat correctly. You can't tell anyone nowadays in a masjid he's not performing his salat correctly. You tell him, he becomes your enemy. He's angry now. He becomes angry. We point out in this thing, if you do this act in this manner, then your akhirat going to suffer. You're harming your akhirat. He becomes angry. Can't give nasiha to anyone. So this is what is happening now to us generally, and even to our institutions also. We see something is wrong in any deen institution, immediately take offense. Yet, with the passage of time, all institutions of haq, they deteriorate, and the end, bid'ah creeps into them. Doesn't matter which institution it is. It can be a khanqa, be a darum, a madrasa, a big jama'at, or this jama'at. As the time goes on, then, shaitan is there, he does his work. He's got a duty to perform. He carries out his duty. And the original purity of it suffers now of the movement. And if there aren't any people to now point out those errors, the deficiencies there, then what happens? That entire movement, it becomes now a movement of batil then. That is what has precisely happened to almost all the Sufi tariqas. All the Sufi tariqas, that thing, especially like in West Africa, North Africa, and even other places also, they have become now cults of shirk, kufr, shirk, bid'ah, singing, dancing, everything goes down. But the names are still there. They are Naqshbandiya, they are Chishtiya, they are Suharwardiya, Shahzadiya, Chishti, all the names are authentic names. But if you look now at the methods and the practices, their beliefs, everything is foreign, everything is in conflict with Islam. So that is a duty now of the ulama, where they see now something is wrong in our institution, it's the duty now of the ulama to point out this, to explain to them this thing is wrong, this thing is haram, but if you do that, then there is now become an enemy. But the person of haq shouldn't worry about that. Allah Ta'ala says, "I khafun alomut alaim." They are such people, they are not concerned, they don't fear the criticism, the insults of those who insult. Let them carry on. I mean, Allah Ta'ala sends, after every century, a mujaddid. Why? What is his job? What's his duty? Why Allah Ta'ala sends now a mujaddid? To come and purify the deen, the bid'ah which has become attached now to the deen over the century. That is the beauty of this organ of the mujaddid. He comes and roots out, and he becomes now the greatest enemy, the king of the people. Fine. Shah Wali Rahmatullahi, I mean, his time the bid'ah was so strong. And as a result of his ta'lim, his tabligh, the king ordered to cut, his both hands were cut off. Why? So to prevent him from writing. Mm-hmm. Must write so much against the bid'ah. And then this bid'ah and the draft from Siratul Mustaqim, it's such a disease, it's become so ingrained. And the first time Rahmatullahi has mentioned it also in his kitab. It becomes so so entrenched, this bid'ah becomes, that good ulama of haqq, who are awliya, they also throw in the towel. In that time, during the time of Shah Wali Rahmatullahi, in that age, so much bid'ah has set in India, in the Ummah, that to say Assalamu Alaikum, that was now abolished completely. I'm speaking of the homes of the awliya. Say some other thing. So once he went to meet now the other Buzruk, and from outside, as he came in, he said aloud, Assalamu alaikum. Completely something new. So this Hazrat inside was a great alim and a wali. In happiness, he exclaimed. He said, who is this person who came here to come and enliven the sunnah? Who is this person who can come make his eyes sunnah to come and live in sunnah here? Something new in his own house. His wife and children, all, not one of them saying Assalamu Alaikum. So much it becomes this, entrenched. So when the man of Haqqi speaks now, immediately becomes now the enemy. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al Mu'min, Mirat al Mu'min. A Mu'min is the mirror for another mu'min. Like what the analogy here is, that when you look in the mirror, you see any defects in your appearance or in your clothing, then you set it right. So a mu'min, if he sees the thing, something is wrong in a brother mu'min, then it's his duty now to make Amar bin Ma'ruf and explain to that person. So he must not become angry now. If he becomes angry, then he displays now his jahalat, his ignorance, that he's seeing something, he's seeing them in the mirror, he's seeing something is wrong with his appearance or with his dressing in the mirror, and then what is it? Now he rebukes the mirror. For revealing to him now, there's the discrepancies on him. So it is, this is the same thing here. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam describe a mu'min as a mirror for another mu'min. When you see that thing, something is wrong with another mu'min, it is your duty now, that thing, to address that, to explain to him, and it is his duty now also to accept that. So if somebody comes and tells you that thing, this is wrong with you, or you hear of it, or you read of it, now whether that person, what he says, don't be too much concerned of who the person is and what. He may be your enemy also. And sometimes an enemy sees your fault, your deficiency, which your friend doesn't see. He brings it now to you, although he's got a different motive. Don't be concerned with his motive. You examine what he's telling you, that he's telling you this and telling this. So now you examine and make a bit muraqabah, reflect. And see what this person is saying, is it true or is it false? Don't look at it emotionally. Look at it now with your aql. Allah Ta'ala has given insan an aql. Wonderful ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us, which we destroy. Which we have destroyed. Aql is such a ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala, when he created Adam alayhi salam, the aql Allah Ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam, he did not give it to the malaika. He got their aql also, but not on the level besides Adam alayhi salam. And because of the superiority of the aql, which could absorb that ilm which Allah Ta'ala imparted to Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala gave a lesson. After creating Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala imparted the lessons to him. And the same lesson to the malaika also. Adam alayhi salam absorbed everything and understood. The malaikas were like robots. They didn't understand what Allah Ta'ala is now explaining here now. So, after imparting that knowledge now to Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala took an examination, asked the malaika, explain what has been said. Say, Allah, we only know what you teach us, what you told us, what you have granted us. We don't understand this. So they asked Adam alayhi salam, immediately rattled off everything that Allah Ta'ala said. Then Allah Ta'ala, in order to establish now the superiority of the aql, the ilm, which Allah Ta'ala has given, or the malaika, I make sajda now. Now you make it, it's your superior. So they all made sajda. So this aql Allah Ta'ala has given us, it's a wonderful ni'mat. But what we do, we debase that aql and we destroy it by enslaving it to our nafs. The nafs is the servant, is the slave, and the aql is the king. Allah Ta'ala has created the aql as a king. Now when we give vent to our nafs, you become angry, someone angered you, your wife angered you, your customer angered you, or your friend angered you, now you erupt now. Now you become now like an animal now. Because animal has got a nafs and we've got a nafs. All of us got nafs. The difference by us between insan and hewan is this: when the animal, the instinct develops in him, the animal reacts immediately. No breaks there, no, I don't think whether I must do or mustn't I do this act. It's just whatever comes in his heart, animal act. But in insan, now what we have to do is when a nafsaniyat develops in us, which is natural, that is natural. Allah Ta'ala has created insan and he has created an evil nafs in us. Everyone's got an evil nafs in him. Only all of them. No one can say they are without an evil nafs. Even the usual what they wuma ubari un nafsi. Ah, wuma ubari un nafsi inna nafs al-amartun bistu. I don't say that my nafs is pure, I am holy. Because the nafs is a great commander of evil. So there's nothing but evil in our nafs. So it is just natural this, that there will be emotional processes in us every time taking place. You will become angry, you will become envious, you will become insincerity will develop, riya will come, takabur will come, and this and that. Now you are required now to utilize your aql now. And you can't use aql. The aql also has got the limits. Everything which Allah Ta'ala has created in this dunya, there's limitations for it. So the limitation for the aql is the shariat, the ta'limat of the anbiya. These are the limitations of the aql. If the aql is not fettered, and if it does not operate within the confines of the ta'limat of the anbiya, then what happens? Then that person becomes an atheist. See all the kuffar, these people, the scientists, and all of them. No matter how much, how clever they may be, how intelligent they may be, how much they discover, the more the discoveries they do, the more they unfold the mysteries of Allah Ta'ala in the universe, the kufr becomes worse. Because now the akal is given free rein. Now no reins, nothing to check, keep that akal in check. But when the akal it is held within the confines of the Shariat, it will operate now in the state of equilibrium in a balanced manner. So when an evil desire now it develops in us, you will now, someone angered you now. Now what's our reaction now? We will justify it. We'll justify and we'll give vent to it now. Whatever the demand of that anger is, that we will make amal on it now. Now you must fight with that person. You must react and you must also now abuse now. Yeah, you must debase yourself and become an haywan and become an animal now. And just say whatever comes into your mouth and act as you want to now. If you are stronger than him, you will physically also hurt that person, you will abuse him. And if physically you can't do it, you are weaker than him, you will adopt other ways. Try how I must now ruin his reputation. I must make now ghibat about him and slander him, etc., etc. Now, so obviously that's now not the attitude of a mu'min. We are here for what? For the akhir. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in the dunya, khulika lakum. This dunya has been created for you. It's a vehicle for you on this journey. The way the journey started from Jannah, from Adam and Hawa alayhi salam were created there. And our souls all were created there in Jannah. So it started off from there. This is a long journey. Now it's there. You see, this is it's a temporary phase, a station we are halting here. Allah Ta'ala has made provision for us here. So in the dunya khulika lakum, this dunya has been created for you. Yeah, you take from this dunya, not as you want to also. There are not many rules. You must take what is necessary for this journey. If you're going to overload yourself here, and you're going to waste your time, you're going to waste your energies every year, then when it's time to depart now from here, when more comes, then you will find you are bankrupt now. You've got nothing to go ahead in the next phase, which is Barzakh. And then after Barzakh will come Qiyamah now. So, inna dunya khulika lakum, the dunya has been created for you. Wa antum khulitum lil akhirah. But you have been created for the akhirah, not for this dunya. So now the thing, when Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have been created for the akhirah. So I mean, now Allah Ta'ala has given insan an aqal. You might utilize that aqal. Now, since I've been now created for the akhirah, so I must now develop my akhirah. I must develop not my dunya. I must, here in this dunya, I'm here for a short while, so I must just take what is necessary. For that reason, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ajmilu fi talab. That curtail your quest, your search for risk. You must curtail it. Don't ramify. You got one business, then another business, then another business. So you go on and on and on until more comes playing you, and then you find it's too late now. My entire life, I've squandered it now. In the pursuit of phantoms, in the pursuit of the dunya, right? Your risk it is sealed. But our problem is this, that our iman is very weak. We don't understand this. That if we don't do this, then we're not going to get it. You know what I mean? And the thing is, we're battling, suffering, battling. That is written out for you. And everything, there is an appointed time for everything. Everything moves from point to point. Nothing. According to accident. There's no something as an accident in this dunya. There's not even a leaf. Not a leaf falls from a tree, but it's in Allah's knowledge. It is recorded there. And when the moth of that leaf comes, that leaf will fall from the tree. Everything is recorded. And Allah Ta'ala tests us. If Allah Ta'ala did not want us to undergo any difficulties, any hardships, He would have created us all in Jannah. They are our ancestors, Adam Alayhisalam, were in Jannah. We all would have been created there and we would have lived there without any hardship, difficulties, without any evil, without committing sins. But Allah Ta'ala's wisdom demanded this. You know, this makhluk, insan, must be sent into this dunya. And how also? Physically weak compared to the other animals. And on top of it, an evil nafs in him. An evil nafs in that insan. And then shaitan also there. Now Allah, you must now combat them. So this dunya is the arena for a conflict between haq and batil, between vice and virtue. Allah Ta'ala, the test there, he will test you. So Allah Ta'ala has said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ajmilu fi talab, that you must curtail your search for your risk. Yeah, in everything, operate within the confines of the Sharia. Not to say that you now, you must, that when, it doesn't mean now, okay, you're going to now say, right, that is it, I'll just now sit now, in other words, I'm not going to work now. That is also all right, don't work, but that it applies to a person who's got that level of yaqeen. But for the masses, Allah Ta'ala has created a system that now you have to work. Your risk is still, that is, but let's say you must work. Kasbul halal, fariyatun ba'd al farida. The search for your risk is the, your next farz after your first farz, which is your salah. After that, come. Yeah. But you must now, your quest, your search must be again within the confines of the Sharia. So don't now waste your entire lifetime, all your energies, and you neglect your ibadat, you neglect your family, you neglect and in the pursuit of wealth. The maqsad of earning is not to accumulate wealth. That's not at all the maqsad. Then you get lost completely then. Ad-dunya, daru liman la dara lahu. This dunya, it is the home for a person who's got no home. Now in the akhir, he's got no home. Now he just want to develop this dunya. وَمَالُ لِمَنْ لَا مَالَ لَهُ. And his wealth, for one who's got no wealth. He's a pauper in the akhirat. He's got no wealth. Now, here he is now. He's just, his entire life, his 24 hours of the day, is now expended now in developing his dunya. وَيَجْمَعُ لَهَا مَنْ لَهَا أَقْلَ لَهُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the one who accumulates wealth for the dunya. Now, is there saying here that one who accumulates wealth? One who accumulates wealth for the dunya, لَا أَقْلَ لَهُ, it's for no أَقْلَ this person. He doesn't know what he's doing. The maqsad of earning is not that thing that we do. To establish yourself in the dunya and just go on and on building up bank balances and become billionaire and trillionaire. That is not the maqsad. Suddenly, maut comes and snatches you away. Everything is left behind. Nothing is going to be of benefit. You operate within the confines of the Sharia, right? You must be, for by Maghrib, you must be home. For example, I'm just giving one example. You've got a family. There are hukuk to fulfill. You can't go and work night shift now. Go for your risk now. Go and waste now your time now there. Yeah? Your Jamaat Salat. You neglect Jamaat Salat also. You neglect your duties also. Then you take your wife also must work now. And then you drop your child where by a nursery school now to be in the company of Fusak and Fujar or whoever there. Yeah? And where there's an amanat which Allah Ta'ala has given to parents, this is the child is given to you, an amanat. The third ta'lim and the tarbiyat of the child must be done at home by the mother, not in a nursery school, in some child care school somewhere there. That is an abuse of amanat. It's a major sin worse than committing zina, to take your child and drop the child there by some what they call a child care or nursery school, and then the mother also goes off to work or goes off with the father to the shop. So all these when we exceed the limits, Then what we are doing? We are acting unnaturally. And whenever you act in an unnatural manner, the consequences are disastrous. It takes time to understand one doesn't understand it. But as time goes on, it takes its toll. And at least at the minimum is that when more come, then his time says that you will now, that paralysis of the dunya will wear off now. Now you will become alive at that time. When you are dead to other people, you are alive now, really. Now you understand what is happening. So, Allah Ta'ala has given us an aql that when any evil desire develops in us, we have to now confront it with an aql. What I have to do now in these circumstances? What is the ta'aleem, the thing of the Anbiya? What does the Quran tell us? What does the Sunnah teach us? That how much we react now? We sit in a bayan, we listen to the nasihat of the awliya, of the mashayikh. You are required now to employ those to practically implement this nasihat, which we are, the purpose of bayan is not to come and while away the time, is to learn something and to practically implement that nasihat at the time when you are confronted now with a problem now. Not now when you are confronted with a problem and now your natural instincts now develop. Now you start to justify that instinct in order to give it freedom to freely express now your instincts. We start to justify now all our haram things. Now that is what is happening. I mean, it's happening to everyone and in every field of life, right down, right up. You take to amongst the ulama, amongst the madaris, in the khankas, wherever you go, it's the same thing. You can't point out anyone, this thing is wrong. Because if that is wrong, you become the enemy. You become that person's enemy if you say it's wrong. So that is now takabur, plain takabur. Man. I mean, and who was it? The first being, first one to displace takabur, shaitan. When Allah Ta'ala did not immediately, summarily just dismiss him and made him a curse and expel him. No, Allah Ta'ala reasoned with him first. Why do you refuse to make sajda to something, to a being whom I have created, Allah Ta'ala says, whom I have created with my own hands. This is a verse Allah Ta'ala verse says. I have created him. So, you've got akal. So, he is not saying that he must make sajda for me. I'm telling you, make sajda for him. I'm your creator. Let us reason with him now, logically. That you must make sajda for Adam al-Islam because I'm commanding. Are you making sajda for me? You're making for Adam al-Islam because I'm commanding him. But now, because of when the instincts, when the nafs overwhelm the akal, then the akal becomes now a slave now. So the akal is not functioning now. So what he said, khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtani min teen. They said, no, Ya Allah, you created me from fire and you created him from dust. What he's saying is it should be the opposite way around. He should make sajda for me, not me make sajda for him. But that's what is happening to our akal. All of our akal, this is happening. That when something happens, we become angry or whatever comes in our nerves, we want to do it. Then we bring up all types of arguments. This type of argument, this logical argument, logical argument, and we override now the akal. And now we don't even allow the akal to operate anywhere because it's only nafsaniyat. So insan, the thing is required, the thing to train your nafs, give it a ta'lim, and keep it in the thing. You must keep it now under control. It's just unfortunate now at times now the system of the Mashiach.